This is Brian from the soon-to-be champion Skybusters, and you are listening to Josh and Gar on the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix on Spotify.
It is Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, 7:30 p.m. sharp. Josh, it is a lovely September evening. A little warm still. If we could get this heat to go away, that'd be great. But hello, everybody, and welcome to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix Podcast. I am one of your lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by your other lovely hosts, the Joshua Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi.
We always appreciate people who chat along with us in Discord. Discord has still been lighting it up. We appreciate everyone. We're so excited for the season, which starts in exactly, I don't know if it's exactly, but approximately 48 hours from now. 6 minutes. That'd be pretty good. 48 hours-ish from now, the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs will kick off on Thursday night. I think it's usually a 7:30 kickoff, or is it 7:20, 7:25? One of those numbers, but we are pumped for the season, and we can tell people in Discord are pumped as well. Josh is, I just copied and pasted from last year. How's the website doing? How's that looking?
It's alive.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's still there. I checked it the other day.
Yeah? How's it doing? Have you watered it recently or taken it for a walk?
No. But I did put some more wood chips down to go poop.
All right, excellent. All right, we have a website, hiddenoaksoverdose.com. It's there. I don't know that anything there will be current, but that website exists. Segment start times will be down in the description below once it's a regular podcast. And thank you at Levi Oki Illustration for all the beautiful art that everyone can see, right? Meow. On their phone, in the Discord, on YouTube, wherever they are looking at us. Josh, how you doing?
I durn. How are you, durn?
I'm doing okay. Feeling maybe a little burnt out. I don't know if it's because of all the fantasy stuff or life or whatever else. We're a little burnt, but fantasy season's here, kind of all the drafts, and most of my commissioning stuff is out of the way. Most of my responsibilities, all my leagues have drafted. Last thing, I guess, is to try and fill the FanDuel pod play along or whatever, but it's been a long season, a long intro to the football season, but we are ready to start enjoying some games. How's anything new in your life in the past, 3 days since we last podcasted?
Oh, you didn't hear?
No, go ahead.
No, nothing.
Nothing? Come on, Josh. Hey, give the people a something. Al's here now. Al's listening live. Shout out. Just give him a little nugget of something, dude.
Had a draft last night with the Audio Owl. Second draft of the year with Audio Owl. Well, technically fourth.
Okay. And how do you think you did relative to how Al did?
Well, you know, if I were to give out awards first and second, I'd say we got both. He got second, obviously, and then I got first for losers. I'm first loser, he's second.
Is the second loser better then, just to be clear?
Yes.
All right. Well, congrats, Al. You beat Josh in the draft. Are we ready to move into it, Josh? We're here to make some fantasy declarations for the season?
Yep.
Is this the energy level?
No, I'm just sorry. I was pulling on my team because I kind of forgot my team already. And so, yeah, when you're rolling out Geno Smith as your starting quarterback, and then Evan Engram as your starting tight end, you didn't do the whole you want a stud in the first three of either QB or tight end. You got Geno Smith and Evan Engram, both top 10 players in their respective positions, but nobody's going to know that.
Interesting. Okay, well, dude, hey, Geno was slinging the rock last year.
Number 5.
No big deal, ladies.
And Evan Engram was number 6.
All right. And if someone would have picked, you're trying to make a little segue here, if someone would have picked Geno Smith as a stud last year, they would have been very happy with their performance. Speaking of, Josh, I don't believe either of us picked Geno Smith as a stud last year, but before we make our season-long fantasy predictions, tell the people who the studs of the year are going to be, who the duds of the year are going to be, we should probably give the people a bit of grain of salt, whether it's a teaspoon, just a grain, a silo's worth. The people need to know how good we are at fantasy, so they know whether or not they should listen to us, even though if you hear this right now, we got you, nerds. How'd you do last year in either in starting with your studs and duds or starting with your fantasy performance in general? Why should the people listen to you and your amazing predictions?
Well, we did discuss how we did last year for the studs and duds at some point in this offseason. I do remember that because we had gone over my 2021 season being the kiss of death for anybody that was picked as a dud. And this year it was vice versa. This year you were the not necessarily the kiss of death, but you were the death. And so I guess the only dud that I got right was Debo Samuel. At 200, he was 91.9 under his projection. I had Josh Jacobs, which was a big swing and a miss for a dud. And then my only studs that were worthwhile was Jared Goff. I had him as a stud, and he outperformed by 55. So two of the bigger, like, correct answers when it comes to our total numbers. Actually, yeah.
You had the single biggest with Debo, for sure.
Yeah, and then the second biggest based on, like, studs versus duds. Like, my studs were more studlier than yours. The one that I got right. But you just got more right overall. So my differential was 192.3. Gar, how'd you do?
Well, Josh, I did pretty decent. I picked Rashad White having a bit of a better year than people predicted, and Tyler Conklin doing all right in New York and Cincinnati. I forget where he even played last year. I think he was in the Jets. Yeah. Sammy Watkins disappointed, but he did have a boomer of a first week. Aaron Rodgers, I predicted, was going to fall off a cliff, which he did. DeAndre Swift as well. Jamar Chase technically underperformed. I mean, he's still going as wide receiver two this year, but he did underperform his projection. People don't realize. And then Dallas Goedert was on a fucking...
Did he miss six games?
And then Dallas Goedert was on a fucking rocket ship to also surpass his projection, but then he got hurt and missed the rest of the year. So I was technically correct in all of my duds, Josh. So like you said, I was the kiss of death last year, so any player I picked as a dud, you might want to avoid. And I might have some controversial ones. Since you have the spreadsheet open, Josh, I mean, I know we've gone over this before, but just very briefly, how did you perform in fantasy last year? So again, like, how'd you perform so the people should know whether or not they should listen to you this year?
If I scroll over, I guess, well, since I didn't write champion down on anything, I got third place in one league, which was good. I think I was in the playoffs in every league, which is good. But I got, yeah, I was in the playoffs in 5 leagues. I made it to the second round in one of those leagues. And yeah, fun times.
Sweet. Well, I mean, playoffs for every league, that's pretty damn good. Shout out to Josh for doing good. Last year, I was not quite that good. I think I only made the playoffs in four leagues, including one of them being a guillotine league. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly performed worse than you last year. I think your winning percentage, I think I just looked at it, was like 63%, if I'm reading that correctly, and my winning percentage was only 53.6, so 54 if you want to round up. So I didn't do nearly as well last year, but I'm an every other year kind of guy, so this is the year that Gar is going to dominate, and I did win a championship last year. Basically, we were co-champions because of the fucking DeMar Hamlin game, but you know, I got the championship winning split up, so I'm going to count myself as a champion, and I came in second in a league as well. Moving on, Josh, let's move on to this year. So we've made a bunch of predictions, and by a bunch, I mean eight, I guess. We've picked our season-long studs and duds for the 2023 NFL season. I don't think we need much more pomp and circumstance than that. Josh, we'll start with you. You can start either stud or dud. You can kind of go in whatever order you want. We have one at each position of the four main offensive positions, and take it away.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go ahead and put out a disclaimer there that I made my stud and dud predictions, and I haven't changed them. I made them back on August 16th. Mika, thank you. I made mine back on August 16th, so these are...
God damn it!
Couple weeks old, but I'm sticking with them. You know, went with my truthy gut back then, and I'm going to stick with it now. But as far as my stud goes, starting in the quarterback position, second most important position behind the fullback in football, we've got Desmond Ridder, projected 198. He is the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, Brian. He's a little bit more athletic. He might throw the ball a little bit more. He played a little bit near the end of the season, but 198, I felt like, you know, for a quarterback, that's kind of low. We'll see. Hopefully he does well.
Yeah, and as far as I know, he doesn't really have any backup competition anymore. They drove Mariota out of town. Maybe they've got a fucking Nathan Peterman or some career backup or something out there. I don't even know who would be on the depth chart behind Ridder, but that's a decent stud pick. He's projected to be the 6 to 17 game starter, so I would be surprised if Ridder does not surpass that projection just because he'll start all the games. I'll just follow you tit for tat, Josh. I wanted to go Baker Mayfield, but I thought, I don't know, I just couldn't do it with Kyle Trask right behind him. So I went with Sam Howell, projected way more than your guy. Sam Howell's projected 258.1. But the story out of that guy is that he's a gunslinger. From what I know, I'm not going to pretend to be a Sam Howell or Washington Commanders expert. But seems like he's going to be a, a number of an old Mississippi type anymore. We refuse that, man. But I don't know. What's another good example of a gunslinger, Josh?
Well, he is number four, so we could go ahead and go with the guy who wears number four and is near and dear to our heart, Dak Prescott.
Oh, Dak Prescott. When I think gunslinger, I think Dak Prescott. All right. Yep. But yeah.
Yep. Slinging a gun right at your own forehead. I'm ready to pull that trigger.
The gun was slang. Yeah, so anyways, I'm going with Sam Howell. I think he'll have some streaky good games. Like, I think he might put up maybe a 30 or 40-point game just because they absolutely trounce on someone, and Sam Howell's hot. He's probably going to have some multi-interception games and that stuff too, but I think ultimately he'll be more positive than negative, so I really like the potential out of Sam Howell next year. Josh, who you got next?
Yeah, well, since you had to go ahead and point out that yours was way more than mine, I'm going to go ahead and say that my next two are way more than yours in the stud column, so we'll see if they could match this. But I have Tajay Spears, the rookie running back, backing up Derrick Henry. He's projected 72.2. I do think that they're going to try and keep Mr. 30-year-old behemoth a little bit fresh. He's had some injuries in the past, but Tajay Spears has a third of an ACL in his knee, so who knows how long he'll hold up. All I know is that third of an ACL is probably going to get him more than 72.2 points.
Interesting. Okay, well, we'll see. I watched the preseason game with the Titans and the Vikes, and I definitely liked his potential. Derrick Henry appears to be immortal, so that's the only reason I can't do someone like that. But in the hypothetical world where Derrick Henry is not a god, Spears.
You said Travis Kelce is immortal.
Spears could do some great things. I went, my guy will probably, I know you said his projected score is way lower, but my guy also plays a position that really no one cares about. I just picked him because I wanted someone low. My stud running back / I guess fullback of the 2023 season is going to be Alec Ingold. There's a lot of running back woes down in Miami right now. Will they get someone new? Will they still trade for Taylor? Who's to say? But Jeff Wilson, excuse me, Jeff Wilson is potentially out for the entire season. A-Chain is hurt. Raheem Mostert, I don't know if he can carry a whole season on his shoulders. They've got some other, undrafted or, late-round draft guy that made the cut. But they just broke off Alec Ingold in terms of at least relative to fullback contracts. So I think Alec Ingold's going to be a sneaky pick. We saw how successful Kyle Juszczyk could be out in San Fran. Mike McDaniel, now the head coach of the Dolphins. I think Alec Ingold, I'll call it now, his projected 38.6, I'll say he'll break 100. I think he'll get some sneaky touchdowns. He'll be my vulture on the goal line, might get some sneaky receptions. I think Alec Ingold will break 100, so we'll see. But that's my stud pick for the year, Josh.
Wow, yeah. Go pick him up and drop somebody.
Yeah, I'm right behind you, bud. You first.
Okay. Coming up next, we have wide receiver studs. We're going to stick to way more points projected than what your player's getting. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, technically. I went with Kadarius Toney. 113.7 projected points in a full point PPR. That's assuming, he has to stay healthy. He hasn't been able to do that. I think he's played 10 games out of the potential 36, 37 that he's been in the NFL. So if he could stay healthy, he's already a questionable for week one. Just going to throw that out there. 113.7 should be doable. He's electric. They said that he is their wide receiver one in Kansas City. And that was, prior to the Kelce news. So if he suits up a couple weeks and Kelce's not there, he could get 113 in 3 weeks.
All right, well, we will see. Again, I think that health is a question mark. But if Tony stays healthy, I think everyone agrees he's going to outdo that 113. Moving on to my wide receiver, I've got Trey Palmer, new wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going to go out there. He's already earned the wide receiver 3 spot in theory. He's got only Mike Evans and Chris Godwin ahead of him. And maybe Godwin's banged up. Maybe Evans banged up. Maybe Evans is going to be in a contract dispute, though it seems like that's going to be resolved. Trey Palmer has got a chance. He's a deep threat. Baker loves to throw the deep ball. Baker, for all the flack he gets, Baker's one of the best deep ball throwers there is. So in theory, if this team's bad, they're going to be hucking the ball a lot. Trey Palmer should easily outscore his projected 60.9 points this year, and so I love him, and I've picked him up. I think he's on all my taxi squads or all my rosters in Dynasty League, so I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Trey Palmer this year should pop off, if not hopefully next year, but I'm taking him this year as my stud. Josh, your final stud and the tight end position, who you got?
Tight end position is a crapshoot if you don't get one of the top one, too. And even now, the number one is questionable for the first few weeks. I went with somebody who's a big behemoth of a human being, projected 18 points. His name is Darnell. His last name is the capital of the United States, minus the D.C. Darnell Washington out of Pittsburgh. He's a backup tight end behind Muth, but he is a big boy, athletic. He was second fiddle in college. He's a rookie this year. I could accidentally score 19 points in fantasy football as a tight end in the NFL, so I have confidence that he'll be able to.
Okay, one more time. What's he projected?
18.8.
Wow! That's a low price!
That's pretty good, Josh, but not as good as my guy. I'm taking tight end Cole Turner. No one's ever heard of this guy, but Brian, and for everyone else who doesn't know, tight end Cole Turner is the backup tight end for the Washington Commanders. I'm stacking Sam Howell with Cole Turner. Logan Thomas has been a tight end in this league for a while. He's been banged up a couple years in a row. He had an Achilles, and then last year he just couldn't get back to form. I'm thinking Logan Thomas, again, does not get back to form, and Cole Turner has already shown some chemistry with Sam Howell. So I'm thinking Cole Turner takes over that starting tight end job, and they just go happy days this NFL season. And when he's only projected 17 points this year, Josh.
Wow! That's a low price!
I have to take that. That's a steal of a deal. I like Cole Turner's chances this year to pop off. Let's move on to some duds, Josh. Who do you think is going to be a dud this year?
We'll just do it in the snake order. We'll start with a dud tight end. I went on a limb and I said Darren Waller. He's got Eli throwing to him, the ghost of Eli, who's also one of my quarterbacks in the league, so that's kind of disappointing. But mainly because 186.1 tight end position, you know, it's you know, hit and miss. He just got married. Who knows.
Looking for any reason he can. Well,
yep.
Josh, I personally would like to go on record heavily disagreeing with you, especially in PPR formats. Apparently, Danny Dash, aka Danny Dimes, is in love with Darren Waller, and I think Darren Waller is going to pop off this year. So I have to disagree with you. I have to let the record show that. But who knows? Maybe we go every other, and you could be the kiss of death this year. But just for the record, you hating on my boy Waller, I have to hit you with this.
And I'd like to solve the puzzle. Go tuck yourself in.
You got it.
Go tuck yourself in, Josh. Moving on to my tight end dud for the year. I'm going with, it's not very controversial. It's not a spicy take. No one will think I'm crazy for saying this. I'm going with Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts absolutely disappointed the world last year. He still somehow projected 160.2 points this year. All the reports out of camp, all the beat writers are saying Kyle Pitts absolutely stinks. Desmond Ridder's no good, even though Josh has him as his stud. They're saying Kyle Pitts is going to be the fourth receiving option at best. It's not controversial, it's not spicy, it's not exciting, but Kyle Pitts is my tight end dud for the year, and he will heavily underperform that 160.2.
Smokescreen. I went with, next up, we've got wide receivers. I went with Stephon Diggs, projected 264.3. I feel like, you know, Josh Allen, they got a run game now. Diggs had some off-field stuff. He's been on the decline a little bit the last year, so I just, honestly, I don't remember my thinking when I made this back in August. So it could have been because I thought Diggs was on his way out, but that's where I was going.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, there was some, I don't remember exactly when the news came out, but there was some news that Diggs wanted out, similar to when he was here in Mini, and he was just like, get me the fuck out of here. The Bills are done. The Bills are toast. Trade me again. But that has subsided for now. We'll see if that lasts into the season, but that could have been around that time, Josh, which could have heavily influenced your decision. My wide receiver dud, I went with this guy mainly because of your quarterback dud. We'll get into a moment, which is kind of cheating, but I still respect it because I wish I would have done it first. I think you did it before the news was worse, but all that's to say, my wide receiver dud for the year, not controversial again. I'm just trying to win the game here. Cooper Kupp got a hamstring injury. Dude's here in Minnesota right now, Josh. We could go down to the Mayo Clinic and visit with him if we wanted to. He's projected 284.8 points as of today. I literally just went and looked today. It's not like these are old projection numbers. That is the current projection on ESPN as of less than an hour ago. Cooper Kupp, I don't want to predict he's going to miss the whole season. I'm thinking this guy, unless they're doing some big smokescreen in LA for some dumb reason, I'm thinking Cooper Kupp misses half the season at least, and so there's no shot he gets up to almost 300 projected points. So Cooper Kupp, my dud for the year. Josh, who you got next?
Next, I have another guy who's in a contract dispute, probably when I made these. I have Saquon Barkley, teammate to Darren Waller. Saquon Barkley is projected 253.9. He's probably going to get that since he is back and healthy, but, I just went with it. Why not?
I respect it. Do you think the Giants will do better, worse, or the same as last year?
Yes.
The worse, then?
Maybe.
Josh doesn't want to commit to a single position this year. Okay. Mine, a little bit more. I'm finally getting a little controversial here, maybe. I have Austin Eckler as my running back dud for the year. He's projected 274.7 points, and I did just draft him in a league last night, so not necessarily putting my money where my mouth is. I also have him on my dynasty, my Hood dynasty team, so it is what it is, but Austin Eckler scored so many touchdowns last year, and a big part of the reason Austin Eckler got broken off being the best fantasy asset last year is because Mike Williams and Keenan Allen were down, and don't want to sit here and predict injuries, but I think the Chargers will be more healthy this year, so I don't think they'll need Eckler as much. And with Kellen Moore in town, I think they're going to be more of a pass-happy. Sure, Eckler can catch passes. We all know he can. I think Herbert will be looking down the field a lot more, though. So, Eckler could still have a good season, but the way we play this game, a dud is someone who does underneath their projection. I think Eckler maybe comes in around 250, 220, something like that. So for those reasons, I'm calling him a dud, just to get myself some positive points in the game. Josh?
Yeah, for quarterback, you said that it was, one of those controversial takes. And granted, like I'd been saying the entire time, this may be the reason why I've been saying it the entire time. I made these projections a couple weeks ago. And so I have Kyler Murray, who's projected 200. It's actually higher as of this moment. It's 201.5. But he was projected 200.48 at the time of me writing this. And so I just feel like even if he were to come back when they say, I don't think he'd be able to put up 200 because they say he'd miss about eight games. Okay, so he'd played eight, I think, or nine, technically, because it depends on when their bye week is this year. He barely eclipsed 200 last year with 11 games. So I just feel like, Kyler's a safe bet to be just a bit short of his projection.
I don't think the guy's going to play all year. So I think that's a really sneaky dud pick. Like I said, I wish I would have grabbed it just because the gamemanship between you and I. Kyler Murray is going to net you 200 points in this game. And I hate you for it, but at the same time, I respect it because there's no prize. We don't really care after the season's done. So the final stud dud pick here, Josh, I'm thinking Justin Fields is going to be a dud. He's projected 340.4. I don't own a single share of Justin Fields. We'll get into this. Might be a good transition here, but there's some players we love and we're kind of targeting in all our drafts, so we don't really want to announce beforehand because we want to get them because all the people that listen compete with us. I did not take Fields anywhere, not a single time. I don't believe the hype. Obviously, we saw what we could do last year. For some reason, I think that team's going to take a step back. I don't think Justin Fields
will be. Take a step back from the first overall.
I'm just saying from a fantasy perspective, Josh, because Justin Fields was one of the top quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, 12.
One of the top. But yeah, I don't think he's going to light it up in fantasy terms this year. I think defensive coordinators are going to have another year to kind of figure him out. You know, running quarterbacks is not something new. We saw the big hype with like RG3 and Cam Newton, and then they kind of got stuffed out of the league for a while. Now they appear to be back with Fields and Hurts. But Hurts can actually throw and sling the rock like a fucking champ, and Fields, I do not believe, can do such a thing. So for that reason, Fields is my QB dud for the year. Speaking of Josh, moving on to one other thing I wanted to talk about, because this doesn't have to be a long pod. Half an hour is good enough. Half an hour-ish. But, you know, you and I compete in a lot of leagues together, and I know you're not the type of guy who's going to give his hints or his secrets or his, you know, his sauce away before the draft. But now I'm pretty sure you're done with all your drafts, right? I don't think you have any more leagues that draft, unless it's like a family league or something. But those people don't listen to this. Who are some of the guys you were really targeting this year and you really wanted to get in your drafts, and who are some of the people that you were absolutely avoiding but you're hoping other people would take? You got any people like that this year?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm a big value-based drafter, so there is definitely some of those players that I was looking at just based on the value. So I guess some of the guys that I really wanted were like Garrett Wilson, just because of what's coming out of camp.
Okay.
DJ Moore is another one, because he can catch the screen. He's been, you know, a top receiver most years in the NFL. This past season, not as much, but, you know, he was number 24, which is still, you know, for a position that you need two or three of, not bad. But then, you know, like running backs, I'm always kind of that zero RB strat. Take running back in the third or fourth round, probably fourth round most likely. This year, you know, I went with Ramondre. He was somebody that I liked having last year, so I got him. And then Isaiah Pacheco is somebody that pops up on most of my teams this season for some reason. So I must like his name for some reason.
Okay. Anyone you were heavily avoiding? Anyone you're like, yeah, everyone else can draft this guy. I don't want this fucking, I won't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. Anyone like that?
Yeah, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
mainly because I didn't get the first pick. Well, I actually got him in the Champs Branch Out League, but...
that was an auction. That's a little different.
That's a little bit different. No, I'm kidding on the Justin Jefferson pick. I guess Diggs, you know, if you look at my duds, Diggs, Saquon, if he would have fallen to me in like the third round, I would have taken him. He didn't. Waller, same thing. He would have had to fall past one or two rounds past his ADP type deal, and there had to be nobody there that I wanted. But yeah, like Cup fell to me in a couple leagues. I passed on him because I didn't like his hamstring thing. And then, yeah, so those are kind of the big names, kind of the bigger names that fell. But yeah, not a whole lot of people that I was actively avoiding.
Okay. Interesting. For me, I think people I didn't ask you.
I'm just kidding.
I'll just go ahead, the podcast Garrett. Then. All right. Let's play this fucking song. For some reason I really liked Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon this year. It seems like they were not falling super far to me, but I found myself at the front of a lot of drafts. I was drafting first through fourth in almost all my drafts for whatever reason, and it seemed like Joe Mixon and or Josh Jacobs were falling back to me in my second pick, and I'm like, why is this guy falling this far, even after the news broke? And I don't understand Joe Mixon falling at all, because as far as I understand, he's healthy, and you know, I know there was a potential maybe suspension there for a bit, but it seems pretty clear that Joe Mixon, all the charges were dropped and everything, Joe Mixon's fine. So I don't know why he was falling, but I was able to snag him in multiple leagues where I was like, how the hell did this guy fall to me? Someone I really wanted, TJ Hockenson, I could just never get him. I've already talked about that in another show. Someone I was targeting late in drafts, if I didn't get a good tight end, which sounds like, you know, Kelsey might be hurt. I have Kelsey in multiple, maybe three leagues, so that's not great for me. But Sam Laporta, I know rookie tight ends are usually not a thing, but all the talk out of camp is that he's going to be good. I'm really high on the Lions and specifically Jared Goff this year. So Sam Laporta was, if I didn't get a good tight end, Sam Laporta was the guy I took at the end of the draft, because half the people I'm drafting with don't even know who he is. And someone I wanted, but just due to my draft position, I could never get, was Jahmyr Gibbs, again, being high on the Lions. But when you draft in the front of the draft, you know, first through fourth or whatever, and, you know, I don't play in anyone any less than 10-team league, so it's like, Jahmyr Gibbs is always that early to mid-second-round pick. He never makes it back to me on my, you know, my late second-round pick. So I don't have a single share of Jahmyr Gibbs. I have a draft that starts here in a minute. Maybe I'll get Jahmyr Gibbs, because I dropped 14th out of 18th there, but I won't take him in the first round, so I'll have to pray he makes it to me in the second round. We'll see how how things go. But yeah. Anyone else you really liked in this year's draft, Josh? Anyone else you hated, or should we just get the hell out of here?
We can dip set, dog.
All right. Normally, this would be the very start of our season where we start doing two a week, where we do one on Tuesday and one on Saturday. I'm not sure if you're going up on Friday or Saturday, but both you and I are slated to be in Duluth on Saturday. So I assume we just want to skip it on Saturday, if that's okay with you?
Yeah, that works for me.
All right.
I forgot that was this week. I should probably figure something out.
It is this weekend. You're more than welcome to come up Friday, and otherwise you can come up Saturday. There are some people who will be coming up Saturday. So, we appreciate everyone listening, and we will be back next Tuesday. We will have a full slate of NFL Sunday to go, or the NFL week to go over, the NFL season to go over by next Tuesday. I'm excited for it. Josh, go ahead and hit your Go Packers so we can get the hell out of here.
I'm going to leave everybody with a teaser, all fan that listen. I'm going to have something spicy for the Tuesday shows.
Ooh.
And go Packers.
All right. Love you, everybody. We will see you next Tuesday. Sorry we're missing you on Saturday, but bye-bye. Tim, you missed it. We're done. It's all right. You'll get the next one. It's available on Spotify. But the podcast is over. You've just missed it, Timmy. What's up, man? You want to say anything to the potty people before I end it here?
I didn't know that they picked me to be number one this season. I just want to say they're absolutely correct. Prop bets, this guy. King Dingus 90.
All right, we're betting on you in the guillotine league, Tim. All right, we're out of here, folks. Love you, bye.